We're going to go right to the message tonight, just a good little punch, and we'll have the offering, and then we'll have a song, and then we'll be finishing our... I'm not talking about the end of the service at the beginning, but I'm just telling you how it's going to go, I think. And praise God. Pastor Dan Sergioni played high school football 50 years ago with this gentleman here who's sitting on his left-hand side. So we want to welcome you. Would you like to just... Yeah, there we go. And your friend or wife, okay, welcome. So good to have. And they kind of were introduced to us through Pastor Dan, and they've been watching on the internet in North Carolina. And they said, let's drive up and take a look at that church and meet Pastor Dan. And wow, that's good. Which of you two were the better football player? Very good. I have a mark on my hand. I did a magic marker, so I'd remember to tell you that we have a food Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Yeah, and this is a church fellowship for Sunday night, 5 o'clock. You are welcome. I don't know the price. It's not that expensive. Great food. Last time we did it, whoa. Wow, that was good. Bobby Barinski and Scotty and the whole group, Harold. And it's at 5 o'clock Sunday night. That night I fly to India, and I always like to think that we go together because of the spirit and the mission that we have. And I'll be there by God's grace for 9 days. First part in Mumbai, India, then the second part in Bangalore, and then back home. Pastor Shibeli, I believe, got on the plane this morning somewhere in the world. And he is on his way back. I think he arrives tomorrow night. Give him a little break. Give him a few, give him and his wife a little bit of time to get to reconnect with each other. And then you can go after him. I'm sure he will be, involved. Let's see. I love that prayer time. This is a praying church. Praise God. Yeah, we need that. That's amazing. Jesus came into this world. Jesus Christ, God, came into this world. And people didn't see him. They didn't realize. Some did, the 12, or at least 11, and others, they knew who he was. It's funny, in life, there are things that might be obvious. So I'll draw one of our pictures, you know how that goes. Here is something or somebody that looks very great. You know, you have a perception of a person and you process it, and you hopefully you realize that it is that person or that group of people or that idea or that thing is not what you thought it was. God shows it to you. There's a story about that. I will not go into detail, but turn to Joshua 9. I'll point it out to you. This is just an introduction to the principle. Joshua 9. They were the inhabitants of Gibeon, verse 3. They heard what Joshua had done at Jericho and Ai. They did work wildly, and went and made as they had been ambassadors, took old sacks sex. See, that's me reading into the scripture based on my experience. I would take old socks upon their asses, wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes from Goodwill, clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Where were they living? They were living in Rosedale. Where the Jews were living here at Moravia Park Drive, and these people were a tribe of people that were living here, Dundalk, Rosedale, and they wanted to give the Jews an impression that they had traveled far. So when they met Joshua, because they were afraid of the Jews, they were afraid of them. And when they said, you know, these people will destroy us, so let's pretend or make it give the impression that we have traveled far and we have come from far away. See this bread, it was fresh when we left home. See our shoes, they were brand new when we left home. But we have traveled so far. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, that's supposed to. If you read the chapter, this is what the Jews said. They said this, they lied, they deceived them. Have you ever been tricked? Have you ever bought a used car, piece of land, beachfront property, you know, in the desert? Have you bought a condominium somewhere that doesn't even exist on the planet? Have you ever been tricked, deceived, misled by a person, by the impression, by the outward things? This is what happened to them. Look at chapter 9, verse 13, or we can read verse 12. This our bread we took hot, for our provision, out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, it is moldy. These bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these are our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. The man took their victuals, asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What happened? They did not check it with God. Ooh, they did not check it with God. That's what we want to speak about tonight. Something about this, about God in your life. Christ was at the Last Supper. People are not understanding what is going on. But there were insiders. And the insiders at the Last Supper understood a little bit about what he was saying. And later, when the Holy Spirit came strongly upon them, they remembered his words, they remembered what he said, and they understood they are part of something that is extraordinary, that this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. I want to say there's two examples here. This is the one where you have external impression. And it sells you. You buy it. You buy the whole thing, the whole enchilada, lock, stock, and barrel. But it isn't that way. You think it is this way, but it isn't that way. Now, I say this not to hurt anybody here, because we've all done this in our lives. We have different words for it. And we were cheated, we were deceived, we were messed up. I had no idea, I was misled. I should have been wiser, I should have been smarter. I wish that had never happened to me. I wish I had never met that guy. I wish I never met that girl. I wish this had never happened to me. You understand what I'm saying, right? Okay, take it and park there for a second. God's grace He is with you and I. And he wants to show us things. And many times it isn't what it looks like. He wants to show us things that are looking very good, but they aren't. And he wants to do something else. And it's at the other end here. And I don't know how to draw it. I'm stuck. The wall around the city of Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 2 was broken down. The wall around the city of Jerusalem virtually didn't exist. It was destroyed by the Babylonians 70 years earlier. It was rubble, trash, destroyed, decadent, rubbish was there, animals coming and going, and it wasn't anything. But it was processed through a man, goes the other way. And he sees something that other people didn't see. He sees something. He has a calling. He sees something. It's not there yet, but he can see it. And I want you to think about this tonight with myself as we think about how God is with us in this world, and we are different. We are different. We are people with an extraordinary capability. I would love to say that, like, huge, extremely capable people, you and I. We may belittle ourselves sometimes because we have messed up and not understood things, and sometimes we are very disappointed. On the other hand, I want to encourage you and build you up tonight. I believe that you and I have in us great intelligence, spiritual intelligence. You and I have within us some ability so that we can call the thing that isn't something that is. That's awesome. So let's go to Nehemiah 2, and we'll make a few comments there. Are you following me? I mean, mentally. Yeah, we followed you out to your car. No, I mean, are you following the message? Okay. All right, listen. This is awesome. It's awesome. Because one of the characteristics of our new lives is faith. And when you're a slave in Egypt, and the Jews just celebrated their Passover, and I forgot that word. Somebody help me. Some of the, you know, the what's that word when we say it is enough in Hebrew? Rob Siegel, do you know? Yeah, that one. What's it again? Dayenu. Dayenu. I don't remember it this year. I have in other years. Okay. They dance around the table, the Passover, and they say, we were slaves in Egypt, but we have come out, and God is enough. And what he has done for us is enough. And they say that word. It's beautiful. Wish I could say it now, right? When Joshua went into the promised land, did they have any swords? When they came out of Egypt, did they bring artillery? Did they bring arrows and bows and swords? Did they bring any military equipment when they came out of Egypt? They had nothing. They ate the bread fast. They ate the lamb that night. They ate the bread. They just brought the silver and gold instruments of earrings and those kind of things, but they didn't have anything. But they were able to see what wasn't there. They had a promise. Moses was their leader. They saw the Red Sea part, and they came, and they danced on the other side of the Red Sea. And they basically are saying, God is enough. And I have a, you know, this brother, not brother, this writer, Charles Krauthammer, who was on Fox News and a political analyst and commentator for decades, I think, and he died. He and his son put together a book, and I like reading his editorials through like 40 years of time, commenting on different things. Very good stuff. But when he was 22 years old, he was at Harvard Medical School. He dove into a swimming pool and broke his neck. And he was paralyzed from his neck down for the rest of his life. But he was modest, and he didn't talk about it. And he didn't want to be defined by the fact that he had some little, very little muscular control in his hands, you know, but basically he was paralyzed. He finished medical school on his back, looking at the material, reading it off of the ceiling. Made extraordinary testimony of the way he lived and what he thought, but this is what he said. I don't want my life to be defined by what has happened to me. I want life to be defined by what I can put in, what I am, and these are my words, but it's in his book, and I'm kind of not doing it literally, but the idea is correct. I like this. If you look up at our picture, what you are in the top left may mislead you. You and I can deceive ourselves by what has happened to us. But we need to process. Our message tonight is about this man here in the middle who is a spirit-filled person who is capable of finding it and living in the reality of the person of Christ. You know, are you paralyzed? Yes. It only means that I do things a lot slower. But I'm going to do things. Is it harder for you? Yes, I'm paralyzed. It's harder for me. And I get it, and I do things slower. But I have something. I have something. I'm not saying the man was a believer. I don't know. He was a Jewish, brilliant Jewish man. That I respect him very much for the way he was thinking regarding this thing. And in some way, it's an example to us, I believe. And we pray for each other that we would be able to get this right. And it is in this point here, there isn't much there. This is Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll get to our point, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. I arose in the night. I had some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Did you get that? God had put something on my heart, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to ruin it. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to discourage me. I didn't tell anybody what God had put in my heart. I'm going to live by myself before God. And I see this city of Jerusalem, and I see the destruction. And I rode my animal, the ass, whatever the animal was, around the city for 3 days and 3 nights, and I didn't tell anybody what I was seeing, what I was thinking about. You and I have so much power in our life, and we can keep it in a good way in ourselves, in our own hearts. You know, the walk that you go on by yourself, and you think about it, and you process this. What am I going to do? What do I really believe? What am I thinking about? What is the important thing? What is God doing? Where is God's work? What is God doing? What could I do? And my heart and mind is in the realm of the spiritual. Mind is renewed. Heart is stirred up. When you find God's will. You know, I was thinking of Sirpa Anderson, who lived in Florida in the ministry many years, and then had it in her heart to come to Baltimore and help us here. And she, her family and various things about her life and living in Florida and being in the ministry, and she's like saying, and we've known each other for more than 40 years, and I've always known her this way, that she's able to take something you don't see, but somehow be able to see in that work in the heart. Burning in the heart, maybe, or just solidly there, believing this is important, or this is what I see, this is what I believe in. What about all the other people? I don't know, I can't talk right now. All the other people, I don't know, there's so much noise in the world. They would say, they would laugh at me. They would laugh at me if I said, I want Jerusalem to be rebuilt. They would laugh at me if I told them what my idea was. They would laugh at me if I said that I want to believe God for the country of Indonesia and all the islands and start a ministry. Trans World Radio, 1952. This man had a vision. This son of a missionary couple from the Middle East had a vision, and he started working on it, and Trans World Radio covered back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80% of the whole world was covered by that radio work. Vision. Go to the next part. It says, verse 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port. What's that mean? Dung port? Yep. I'm facing reality when I go to the dung port where they throw all the waste and excrement there too. I want to know the whole thing, the good news and the bad news, because I'm going to do this. This is what I want, a real analysis of what we're looking at. So he rode, and he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, the king's pool, where there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Couldn't get through. It's all collapsed and broken down. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, turned back and entered by the gate to the valley, and so returned. And the rulers, verse 16, knew not where I went. Rulers didn't know. They don't need to know. Right now, God is working, and I am dreaming. I am dreaming. I'm dreaming. That's all. I'm dreaming. Nobody sees a thing, but I see it. It can happen. How does this work? I think some few elements here. Obviously, we need the Holy Spirit to show us. Who is this Jesus? He is Jeremiah, Elijah. He is some other prophet. No. No, the world says that. But no, I know he is the Messiah, the Christ. What is he going to do? Where is the kingdom? I don't know. But I have been alone with him. I see it. The Spirit is teaching me. I see the value of it. I see the authority of it. I see the forgiveness of sin. I see men and women coming to Christ. I see salvations. I see Bible school. I see discipleship. I see faith. I see prayer meetings. And one day I see us going up and I see us coming back. I can see it. I believe it. I read about it in the scripture. My soul cleaves to the dust, but quicken me according to your word. Read the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. Read it in the morning. Read it at noontime. Read it at night. Have a high dosage reading set time for some months through the summer. Reading the scripture. Meditating on it. Marking up the Bible. Thinking about it. Meditating on it. And it will not depart out of your... It will not leave your life. It'll be more part of your life. And it will exalt you to more objective thinking. Do you know what is missing here? That these people that looked at these people here said, oh, they have come from very far. They didn't check with God. In a way, they were not objective. They were objective by sight, but they weren't really objective in the whole picture because they didn't include God in the picture. They could have said, Lord, before I buy this car, I want to check with you. And I bought my lemons, believe me. I don't mean that, but I do mean that I believe that God is... A car is not... A wife, that's a big one. A husband, that's a big one. My career, my education, these are big things. Where I live, where you want me to be, what it is that you want me to do. But I want to go even much bigger than that. I want to go to... the world where God is saying, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to have high priority and seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be taken care of. I want you to trust me with all your heart every day. And if you're a mom and you got to take care of the kids and raise your family, then I want you to have a bigger thing. You know, I read this piece that John Piper said in this book, This Momentary Marriage, right? This Momentary Marriage. He said, marriage is designed by God as like a he didn't say this, but I'm saying it, as like a mechanism to check my selfishness. Ha, ha, ha. Not too funny, is it? No, it is. Yeah, that marriage is only for this life, and God ordained it so that it would be a check for me to see how I can walk with Christ and his grace and spirit and truth in my heart. That I would learn to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That I would be able to forgive the person that I live with a lot, the way he forgives me every day. Maybe it would help me also in how I speak to my wife, and the wife speaks to the husband. In any case, there's a lot of room. I hope this diagram doesn't confuse you, but I'm trying to say that my heart and mind is very powerful, that I can decide how I think by God's grace. And when something's destroyed, I can walk around it for 3 days, riding the animal and going about it, and then come to a conclusion. I see something that others don't see. This is the closing part. It's in verse 17 or 16. The rulers knew not where I went or what I did, Neither had I told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. I remember being in Finland our first summer of 1975, and I would go for a walk, and I would just say, Lord, what are we going to do here? You sent us to this country. What are we going to do? It's by faith. I'm walking these streets. We are walking these streets by faith. We're handing out tracts by faith. We don't see anything. We had, at the end of the summer, maybe four people in our little fellowship that we started up. We didn't see much. We didn't know what we were doing. But isn't this the point about the guy in the middle? His world is not going to be determined by what has happened to him, but he has the authority of God in his mind and in his heart, and he's able to see what is not there and say, this can happen. It can. So then it says, verse 17, then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Pastor Stevens, come, let us start a Bible school, and we will send teams into all the world. Wow, what are you seeing, Pastor? I'm seeing people excited about this book. I see people obeying God and finding his grace. I'm seeing answered prayer. I'm seeing a vision. I'm seeing a Bible college and many other things that can happen. That's what I see. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, if you say this to the wrong people, it will not reinforce what it is that God has called you to do. But we are fellowshipping with God and God's people. And sometimes they do not encourage. On the other hand, we are in the presence of a very encouraging group of people. We had an Easter play, which was phenomenal. We could say historical. It was on another level. It was extraordinary. It was awesome. We have a mission program that is happening around the world, thank you, God, and many other things, volunteers and workers and great teachers in our day school, maybe the best we've ever had, Bible college and many other things that we're looking at, and getting maps in our dormitories and the walls of our homes, a map of Afghanistan and Indonesia and other countries in the world, and not doing it mechanically, but saying it like this we're trying to describe here. We don't have something there, but I'm going to walk around it, think about it, ask God, worship God, and if he puts it in my heart, I'm going to start talking about it, and he's going to do it. Look at the last part. I've said that many times, but I mean it. Okay, it says, verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Could we memorize that? Then I told them, say it with me, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Another time. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Listen, do not compare your family with another family, but be more objective. Then I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me. God's hand is good upon me. Don't compare somebody's economical status with somebody else. Then I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me. We all have different gifts and different places in life, but God is going to sort it all out, and he is the judge, and he does a great job. Then I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me. He was good on me. I could feel it and sense it. I shared in the Bible school Monday night that when we lived in Bel Air in 1989, the communism ended. We had a little dog. We had Bethany was 12 years old, Amy 11, Justin 9. I would go for the walk in Bel Air, Maryland, at midnight, walking the dog. And I said in my heart, Lord, could I go out on the mission field again? Could I go on the mission field again? I'd been in Finland, and I want to go again. I remember that. I just would walk with the dog and think about it. Then I thought, where would I go? Kenya, Africa. So I went to the library and I read about Kenya. Then I thought, Philippines, that would be a great place. Philippines, it's in Asia, and God is moving in Asia. So I read about the Philippines and thought about it. And then Pastor Mati was here, and we talked about the Soviet Union because we had gone there through the 70s and into the 80s. We'd gone to the Soviet Union communist world. And he was here that fall. And we went to Dunkin' Donuts, and we were talking about going there to the Soviet Union because communism was over. And we were drinking coffee after one cup of coffee. Yeah, maybe we could go. The second cup of coffee, yeah, we can go. Third cup of coffee, we're already there. We're going to move to the Soviet Union. Where will we go? And we decided on Hungary. True story. He went there in December of 89 to give us the thumbs up. The eight people went. Ula was one of them in February 1990. And then I said to Pastor Stevens, I feel God's leading. God's calling me. I want to go to Hungary. I had a job here, had a house 1 year. We owned the house 1 year. And three kids and the dog. And other things, just like you, all of us, you know how it goes. But I thank God for my wife who said, we can do it, let's go. We can do it, I can't believe it. We lived in this house 1 year, but that house is not our life because God can do this. God can work this way. We might have a lot of reasons, but look up at our diagram. The thing isn't what you see or what you don't see. What you are looking at is something that you cannot see, but it is real. You cannot see Christ, but he is real. You cannot see what God will do in your life, but it is real. You do not know what kind of love will come out of your heart, but it will. You don't know how much you could forgive somebody, but it will. You can. It happens. And when you find that, you actually are surprised that your life is a lot deeper and a lot richer than what you thought it was. You are discerning. You are learning. You are loving. You do not leave the church. You cannot leave the church. This is a good diagram for that. I leave the church. It may look good or it may seem to be reasonable. It seems to me like a better decision. It seems to me this isn't working out. I just leave. But do you know what you're doing? It is not a good decision. It is much better to stay and listen and gain. You be around wise people, you end up being wise. You drink the same spirit, you end up having the same spirit in your house. People come to your house and they could say, what kind of spirit? There's another spirit in your house. Why? Where do you get that? I get it from God, and I also get it in my church, and I also get it because I live by faith, and this is normal for us. We learn to rejoice. We learn to love. We learn to forgive. We learn to pray and call the things that aren't as though they are. Do you know what happened? We landed in Hungary that summer, 1990. We started a Bible school right away. Within a year, I think we had 120 people. Soon it was 400 people, 450 people. We started a Christian day school, started an international school. We had a Christmas, what's that called? The nativity scene that was televised around the country on a number of Christmas seasons. And it was our play. We have funny stories about it because we needed a donkey. And the only way to get the donkey to where we needed it is to bring the donkey on the subway. And the donkey went down the steps on the subway with the trainer, and he brought the donkey to the nativity scene. And the only way to get horses for the wise men was for the police. And we had three policemen dressed up as wise men. And we had Mary in the nativity scene with a little baby, and she said to the policeman, "Get down and worship him." We have so many stories that it is amazing what has happened. Listen, it doesn't happen if you say it'll never happen. It doesn't happen if you live in some kind of subjective unbelief and what you call reality. There's too many people that are calling reality reality when it isn't reality. They say, "This is reality." And we say, "Hold it. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal." The reality that we are living in is something we have not made up ourselves. It's something that God manifests in this world. And you and I are part of it. It's good. And Nehemiah had some enemies. They were Sanballat and Tobiah, and they just joked and they mocked him when they heard it. They laughed us to scorn and they despised us that we would even think about this. They despised us that they would even be thinking like this. That's in verse 19, right? They laughed. What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? It's like Sanballat and Tobiah, move along. You're not part of this. You don't have anything to do with this thing. You're not in it. You're not invited in it. You're not part of it. You can't think the way we do. You're against it. You despise us, and you can go park your car wherever you want to, but we're in charge right here in our hearts and in our minds. And what we believe is what God has put in our heart, and he will do it because he is our God. And if you have a question about your personal holiness, it is God that does that for you. If you have a question about addictions and problems and bad habits, it is God that will do this for you. Because God is for you, very much so. And he loves you. He wants you to learn it. I'll just say this. Holy Spirit, Word of God, God's people, and you will learn how to process these things in life. Whether it looks like good and great and it isn't, or it looks very bad, but actually, it's awesome. Okay? Oh, great. I'm so happy to be here with this. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for these thoughts tonight and lead us in it. These are great days. For us, we need a lot of encouragement in life, Lord. And please do that all the time by your Spirit to our hearts and minds. Let us be careful how we look at things and rehearse in our hearts and minds what you say, because you are so much with us. In your name, amen. Because I want you to get out in a really good time. Do you want to Pastor Barry to do the offering or me to do the offering? Okay, here's the offering. Ready? Okay. Let's see. Look up at the screen. You got a lot of money. It's not what you think it is. So give it away. You don't have any money. It's not what you think it is. Okay? You don't have any. You actually got something to give. Right? I don't know what it is. What would you give? We have a budget in our church, and to be honest, our offerings have not increased in a long time, 10 years maybe, long time. Cost of living is always increasing 2 or 3% a year. Our people are at the same place for year after year. Maybe you are too, but I want to just challenge you. Your money. It isn't like we are relaxed about the offerings because we have everything. We don't. But God's called us to faith, and a lot of good is happening from our ministry because of your faith and your love and your giving. And it would be great to kind of kick it up more along the lines of our literature and our work and along the lines of just everything that we're doing. So would you pray with me? Father, not just for this offering right now, but a whole profile of the finances of our church. Bless it. Thank you. In your name. Amen.